This morning we're going to continue with prophetic voice. What we're going to do is slightly different this morning is we first going to have a bit of a chat, and then after that we're going to spend considerably more time in worship and in prayer. So that's why we swing around the order so we don't become too religious. We can't get too used to a certain order. But I think it's been good for all of us this week just to focus on the prophetic voice itself and what it means and how it works. And I must say the guys have been doing an amazing job just in terms of workshopping it. It's actually been quite good. I must say the depth of it, but also the focus and the essence of it has been really great. And this morning we're going to continue on it. And let me just quickly recap and just talk about the prophetic. What is prophecy? Prophecy just very simply is a message from God. But then that's obviously the trick. It's from God. And, you know, we as human beings, we love communication, don't we? I mean, we love to talk. We love to put our voice out there. Blogging, Facebook, Twitter, all of that, it's exceptionally popular. We all have an opinion, right? We have opinions about everything. If you ask me a question about something, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have an opinion about it. Well, some things I won't have, but we love to communicate, we love to say things. And, you know, God is so much more so. God loves to communicate to us particularly. But I think where, for us, often it's about having opinion, it's about saying something that we find is very important. I think for God, even more important is just the relationship itself. He really wants to connect with us. He really wants relationship with us. And last week what we were chatting about is that, you know, in reality, all of us, all of humanity throughout the ages has always been in a position of being almost a bit of an orphan. Always been in a position of not having that relationship with God and being confused about who God is. And here's an interesting thing about, let's just sort of just stop there for a moment. Here's an interesting thing about being confused about something. There's another biblical term for it. It's called deception. It's to believe something that is not necessarily true. Now, here's a problem with deception. If you're deceived about something, you don't know it. Or else you wouldn't be deceived about it. If you know something to be true, then you're not deceived about it anymore. Whether you actually do something about it is obviously, you know, a different story. But deception, by its very definition, means you don't know that you're deceived. Now, the challenging bit for me and for you is that you might have a lot of Bible knowledge. You might have a bit of Bible knowledge. But all of us probably has got some area in our lives where we are slapped deceived about who God is. Right, that's impossible not to have that. Because all of us grow up not knowing God. Or at least knowing God from a distance. You might know God a bit from Sunday school, from the kiddies' Bible. I love the story of Samson and the kiddies' Bible. I don't know what was your favorite story. But man, when he pulls that temple down, I'm like, this is my man. All right? I love that story. So we might know God a bit from a distance, but none of us can claim that we are born perfectly in the knowledge of God and innocent in the knowledge of God. None of us can say that. So here's the troubling bit to me and to you. I might have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, or at least I might think so, but I'm probably a slightly deceived about that as well. But all of us probably has got somewhere where we're thinking something weird about God, or at least be a bit confused about God. Now, does that mean that we have no firm foundation? Does that mean that everything we should just question and we don't know anything about anything, so nothing is certain? I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is this. Let's just go to Hebrews 11. I want to focus a slight bit on Hebrews 11 this morning. I'm not going to preach too long at you. But I think this morning we really just want to get going in terms of praying, in terms of speaking over the city. And Hebrews 11 is obviously a well-known chapter that talks about the heroes of faith. These are the guys in the Bible that really made a difference. We are to admire them. We are to respect them. We are to say, listen, I really want to be like these people. They are amazing. And they are called heroes of faith. That's not what Scripture actually calls him, that's what commentators normally call this portion of Scripture. And it starts off with a well-known verse 1. It says, faith is the confidence. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, there's that word again, we cannot see. Now, like we started off, we spoke about deception. There's a lot of things we might be confused about. There's a lot of things we don't know. There's a lot of things we might wrongly think about. And the problem is we don't know it. If you cannot see something, you're not aware of it. It reminds me, some years ago, we were actually living here at Century View. That's the first house, little house we bought. We bought a two-bedroom house here in Century View. And it was a princely sum of 300,000 rand. That's the first house we bought when we got married. And my dad, he phoned me the next day and he said he doesn't know how we're ever going to pay off that bond of 300,000 rand because that is just a ridiculous price for a house. I mean, that is just crazy what things are doing these days. Anyway, so that was 10 years ago. Yeah. I should have bought more. But there's an open field just behind us. And I'm a bit of a stubborn guy. I mean, if you're short, you've got to have some more attributes that keeps you going. And stubbornness is certainly one of them. And Liesl, she's a doctor. She went out to work for evening shift. And I went for a little bit of a jog. I like my jog. I'm slow, but I like it. And it was in the middle of winter. But I'm a tough guy, so I go in my t-shirt, my shorts, and I go for a jog. Now, Liesl's already gone. She's working night shift. And it's sort of already getting dark. It's middle of winter. And I jog. I go down to the beach and I jog back. And there's a piece of field at the back. But now it's already dark. So I'm like, am I going to run around where there's light? Or am I going to cut across a field? And guys, you know what I did. I did what any man would do. I went across a field. Problem is just, in the first sort of couple of steps, I fell over a rock I didn't see. And I fell badly. I mean, I was bleeding. I was down and out. So I got up. I stumbled on a bit. I was hobbling on a bit. And then I was like, I'm sure I can still jog. So I took a couple of more steps. And then I fell across another rock. And I really fell this time. I mean, I think I fell my teeth away. I was really falling hard. And I got to the edge of a field, finally in the light, and I'm bleeding, and I'm like, okay, this was not a good move. And then I felt like this, and I realized my keys is gone. I fell so hard, my keys went. So now it's the winter, it's dark. I can't get into the house, and Liesl is away. So I start looking for the key. So I'm on my knees in the dark on the path looking for my keys like this. I didn't find my keys. So I got back to the house. House is obviously locked. I mean, I made sure. You know, I was like really worried about the city when I initially came to the city. So we put burglar bars on anything. I mean, anything that you could put a burglar bar on, we put it on. So there's nowhere to get in. So I decided to jump over a wall. As I tried to jump over a wall, I'm obviously sore, I'm tired, I'm cold. I tore a bit of my lat. That's that muscle there. So it's cramping, so I'm walking like this, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? I'm looking like this. And I'm there at the back. And I finally managed just to get a piece of the glass sliding door, just to slap it open, but behind that was a trellis door, so I can't get into the house. And we've got parrots. So the parrot is looking at me, and I'm trying, but now it's really cold, and I only got a t-shirt on. It's already like 10 o'clock at night. So what I'm doing in my desperation is I'm closing the door on myself, and I'm standing so I can get a bit of heat from the house. So I'm closing the door like that, and I'm standing like that. And then the parrot says to me, I don't know where he learned it from. He said to me, shame, Bork, shame. So I'm standing there. And eventually that doesn't work either. So I'm out of the backyard again. And then I notice there's like this little cleaning room. that they keep all supplies in for the complex. So eventually I sit down there on a cardboard box, and I'm lying there, and Liesl comes, eventually 3 o'clock of the morning she comes, because every car that I hear coming, I'm like, who's that? So eventually she comes in. Now, imagine this, 3 o'clock in the morning, she's just come from Groteskier Hospital, it's a dangerous area, she's driving it at night, she stops in front of a house, and behind her, a guy comes walking like this. You know what she did? She drove off. That's a problem with a dog, isn't it? What you cannot see is normally the problem. But what you cannot see, you're not aware of. And that's the whole idea of a prophetic, that God does not want to leave us in the dark. God does not want to leave us confused. God does not want to leave us in a place where we're not certain about who He is particularly. And that's the idea of a prophetic. And the Bible talks about faith here, and it says it's a confidence. Now, that word there, the Greek word there, literally it means a substance. You find some translations talks about faith as a substance. The substance is something that it's made of. This chair is made of substance, which means that it's not a thought experiment, that if I actually want to sit on it, I can sit on it. It's not a problem. It's got substance. It's something that keeps it there. It's something safely that I can be upon. Faith is that substance, and then metaphorically, obviously, the second meaning means confidence, assurance. Faith is the substance of a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Now, there's many things we don't have as a world, and there's many things that we are aware that this world should not be. And I think we so aware of it all the time, whether it be personally in our own personal lives, or whether it be in our society, in our community, in our family. We're so aware of it, and we hope that things will be different. We hope that things will be better. And faith is that substance that we build that hope upon. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now that leaves us a bit in a quandary, doesn't it? Because does it mean that faith is blind? Does it mean that we are to be like the lemming? We jump off a cliff and we sort of hope for the best. It's going to be good this time. I don't know. Is that what faith is? Is faith really a blind sort of process that happens and I'm just hoping for the best? Or is that positive thinking, by the way? Is that really faith? You see, I would posit that a lot of our faith is actually more positive thinking. I will run the Comrades in less than 6 hours. I will get a gold. I will be among the top 10. And I just think that hard enough, it will happen. But is that really faith or is that positive thinking? Now, nothing wrong with positive thinking. It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible if you stand in the beginning of Comrades, you go like, today, I will die. I will go to heaven, hopefully. But I'm not going to, that's not a good way to live either. So positive thinking is something to be said for positive thinking. It's nice to be around optimistic people that go like, yeah, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's always nice to be around a person like that. So there's something to be said for it. But is that really faith? Is that really a substance to build upon? Let's go to the next verse. Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23 says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, in other words, you can't see, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You see, the whole question about faith is what can you see and what can you not see? Now, there's an idiom that says seeing is believing. And obviously that idiom is meant to be a bit cynical almost. In other words, you can't really have faith in something unless there's concrete evidence for it. Right? That's normally what that idiom means. But I almost want to twist it a slight bit and say, here's the thing. You cannot believe in something if you cannot see it. But then the question is, what do you actually see? You see, that's the problem. What is it that you're actually seeing? What is it that you're actually according living to? And what the Bible tells us here, what Jesus tells us here is, you know, if your seeing is bad, if all that you see is bad, then that deepness, that darkness is very bad indeed. Now let me just pull it all together and go on with Hebrews 11. I'm going to finish with that. It is by faith. So we're looking at the example of Abram as one of the heroes of faith. And it says, it was by faith But Abram obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Didn't know. He didn't have a 5-year plan. He didn't have a Google Doc with some illustrations on it. What's going to happen? He didn't know. So again, it's that assurance of things hoped for. It's that substance that he's building on, but he cannot quite see it yet. But look at what happens as he goes on. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he's like a foreigner living in tents. Now, just think about that for a moment. For me, that's quite freaky, all right? I find this quite hard. We're obviously quite used to the story of Abram, so we don't worry too much about it. But think about that for a moment. Imagine, what happened to him was this. His dad died. He was living in a city, and then he heard the voice of God that said to him, he should go. Didn't tell him where, just said he should go. Now imagine you go home tonight and you say to your wife, Liffy, we must go. Go where? I don't know. What? When? No, we must go now. Why? I don't know. Do you think that's going to fly? No. Now, listen to this next one that then happens. So he goes, all right, and they travel. And they come to the promised land. And even at the promised land, what happens is this. He lives in a tent. Now, some guys are kitted out better than other guys. You know, like Yaku. Like, you know, when you get to a camp terrain, you've always got the Space Forces guy that's got his satellite dish on his tent. All right, that's got this encampment. All right, and then you've got the poor sod like me that just struggles to put the tent up. You know, it looks like the elephant went over the tent when we're done. So there's always people that's better prepared than other people. But the reality is, imagine you've got to live your whole life in tents. You know, the only piece of land that Abram owned actually was the burial grounds that he and his wife was buried on. Do you know that? That's not such an easy life, is it? Why did he do that? Why did he live like a foreigner? In other words, he was always a nomad. He never belonged, really. He was always a nomad. He lived in tents. Why did he do that? And so did Isaac and Jacob, his sons and his grandson, who inherited the same promise. Listen to this. Abram was confidently looking forward. He saw something. Abram confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And that's why Abram is called the father of faith, because he saw something different from what other people saw. What are you seeing today? By the way, he did not see tremendous riches for himself and glory for himself and being the guy with the most likes on Facebook, most watched YouTube video on how I pitch my tent. That's not what he saw. What did he see? He saw a city, he saw society, he saw a community that was very different from everything else and anything else. He saw a city built without human hands, whose foundation and architect is God. A person that leads and a person that really changes things around them always has got a bit of a different vision. And I think the challenge to all of us is, how do I not just see a slight bit better version of what I already see? You know, I have a Hollywood movie, but I just have a better version of that. You see, the real issue is that God doesn't want something that's just a slight bit better than what is. He wants something very different. He's making all things new. Now, the question is, what do I see? Because here's the thing. Whatever you see, just look around you. Just a moment. Look around you a bit, look at the person, look around, what do you see? What do you see when you drive in Cape Town? All right, what do you see? You see traffic, you see a guy with a hockey stick that you're avoiding because of road rage. What is it that you see? See, normally the issue for us is perhaps we see the natural beauty of a city, perhaps we see even some opportunities, but what is it that we really
see, spiritually speaking now, where is God going with Cape Town? What is God saying over Cape Town? What is God saying over your neighborhood? What do you see when you walk around your house or you walk in your complex? What do you see? When you meet a person, what do you see? See, now we're really getting to the essence of the prophetic, isn't it? Because faith is very important for us as human beings, because we'll never get to where God wants us if we don't have faith. In other words, if we're not able to trust in Him and to endure whatever comes our way as He's making all things new. But it's very hard to have faith if you can't see where things are actually going. And that's the heart of a prophetic, isn't it? It's not so much about the mechanics of, yes, somebody that gives me a message. Yes, it is that, but it's so much more than that. It is God who wants to show us and speak to us and live among us. So the way in which we see things becomes very different. How do we measure things? How do we measure success? How do we measure what is happening in the city? What drumbeat are we walking according to? And that is the heart of a prophetic. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to enter into a time of worship. And what I'm going to ask for, what I'm going to pray for, is open our eyes, God. Show us how you see things. And as we worship, what we're going to do is just pray over the city. Pray over where you live. But what I want you to do is just something very simple. What is it that you see, God? Just ask that question in your heart and then allow God to answer that. It can be a word. It can be a sentence. It can be a scripture. It can be an image. But let's pray those things into reality. I think part of the issue for all of us is that we just accept so often things as they are, because they'll never change. They'll never change. So we just accept it and we try and, you know, work in the best in that like we can. The only problem is then nothing does change. Our environment does not change. We do not change. Our families don't change. So faith is very much the essence of that. I mean, so let's stand.